foe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
And we're going to have a wonderful evening, and tomorrow we're going to meet and we're going to discuss things like perhaps health care will come up, perhaps.
President Trump last night speaking to the nation's governors as they gather to meet with the president. The president said he was looking forward to today's meetings.
I just want to salute and toast the governors, the great governors of the United States. They have done an amazing job. Such an easy job you have. So easy.
President Trump, during his weekly radio address, says he wants every underprivileged child in America to be able to decide where they go to school.
I want every disadvantaged child in America to have a choice about where they go to school. So important.
A report says several Jewish community centers in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania among those targeted with bomb threats today. It's the fifth time in 6 weeks bomb threats have gone out. USA Radio News.
And now, Jonathan Cahn opens up today's mystery from the Book of Mysteries.
In the Book of Mysteries, the teacher reveals the mystery behind some of the most famous verses in Scripture. During the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would pour water out on the Temple Mount as the people prayed for rain. Now, this is the same feast where Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus spoke of water. And during the water pouring ceremony, Isaiah 12 was proclaimed. And in joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. But in Hebrew it says the wells of Yeshua, and Yeshua is the name of Jesus. So at the feast where they're proclaiming, draw water from the wells of Yeshua, Yeshua himself cries out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The promise is just as good today, my friend. Come to him and drink, for in joy you shall draw water from the wells of Yeshua.
That was just a taste of the Book of Mysteries, now available online and wherever books are sold, and at mysteriesbook.com. That's mysteriesbook.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterton is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County. The weather tonight is mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Southwest winds 5 to 8 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. Tuesday is a chance of showers after 10 a.m. Be mostly cloudy with a high near 62. Calm winds becoming south 5 to 7 miles an hour in the afternoon. The chance of precipitation is 50%. Tuesday night, showers likely, mainly after 10 p.m. Areas of fog after 1 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be cloudy with a low around 51. Southwest winds 6 to 8 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 60%. Wednesday, showers likely, with thunderstorms also possible after 10 a.m. Areas of fog before 10 a.m. Otherwise cloudy with a high near 74. Southwest winds 8 to 17 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 70%. Any new rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except it could be higher when there's thunderstorms. Wednesday night, showers likely, and possibly a thunderstorm before 1 a.m. Then there's a chance of showers the rest of the evening. Mostly cloudy with a low around 43, breezy with a southwest winds 14 to 20 miles an hour, with gusts as high as 30 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 70%, and the new rainfall amounts between a half and three quarters of an inch as possible. Welcome to the Hunterton Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Cynthia, I'm going to kill your last name, I know I am, Comparato?
Comparato,
hey, how about that? I got it. And Cynthia is with the Hunterton Behavioral Health, and she is a clinical coordinator and outpatient psychological services. And we're going to have her explain all that in a few minutes. And she also has a bunch of initials after her name, which I'll have her explain those also. The one I do know is the LCSW, Licensed Clinical Social Worker. That I know. MA, I'm assuming, is a master's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And MSW is?
Master's in Social Work.
Master's in Social Work. Okay. Now, basically, I ask this to everybody, okay? It's just curious because sometimes people will say, I asked them how they get in this line of work. And sometimes somebody told me, well, something happened to when they were, you know, 10 years old and I always wanted to do this and yada, yada. Others, where I fall in, I got a wife, four kids, car payment, mortgage, taxes,
yeah.
Job came along, so that's what I'm doing, you know. But how did you get involved in this kind of work?
Well, I went to school for psychology. It was my undergraduate degrees in psychology. Just always had a natural inclination towards it, always had a natural curiosity, always loved to watch people and observe people and interact with people.
So, sit on a boardwalk and people watch you.
Yes,
I love
actually.
Doing that.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And I grew up down at the shore, so it was
perfect. Oh, okay. Well, I grew up in Brooklyn, so you didn't have to go far to see people. You know?
That's right.
But
yes, yeah, so I just, as I was getting my degrees, it just felt very natural for me. And I was really fortunate to find jobs that I really loved. And through those jobs, I did more school, went to graduate mm-hmm. school, did some postgraduate training, ended up at the medical center, and that provided me a lot of opportunities and education and experience in working with people on many different levels.
It's ironic because after I retired, I don't know if you know Nancy Remore.
I do,
okay.
Yes.
Nancy
yes.
and I go way back.
Okay.
and she got me to work part-time there one day a week on a Saturday in emergency services. And what I would do is if someone came in overdosed or attempted suicide, the screener would talk to the person and I'd talk to the families and tell them what's available and, you know, et cetera. And it was interesting. I did that for a couple of years. And part of my thing on Saturdays was I'd go to 2 Central and talk to the clients there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because, fortunately or unfortunately, sometimes I knew people that were there. And through my son, we have 4 children. My youngest son has schizophrenia.
Okay.
So he volunteers at the hospital one day a week too. So, but he works at BJ's now and has his own apartment and has for the last 5-6 years. But he's doing very well. He takes his meds religiously, so he's doing fine. And most everybody at the hospital, just about everybody at the hospital knows him. And, you know, they all consider him, Chris Maglione and Nancy Rimmer, and everybody considers him a success story, you know, so to speak. But I always, like I said, I'm just interested in finding out how people get involved in certain things. And, you know, I obviously got involved with NAMI and everything because of my son. You know, and
that's great to hear that, how well he's doing.
Yes. Well, it's been a long haul. Yeah. You know, won't tell you about the first 10 years. Yeah. But, he's come a long way. Mm-hmm. And the job was good, too, because he'd always look down when he talked. He wouldn't look at you. And now he's got at BJ's is, I don't know if you've ever been in BJ's, but they have these little carts where they say, oh, would you like to try this cookie? You know, and you can't look down. You got to look at the people when you're talking to them. So you can see just a total change in the 2 years he's been there. He now looks at people and, you know, he doesn't look down when he talks and, you know, has to go up to strangers and ask them if they want to try this mineral water or whatever else he's pushing that day, you know. But, okay.
And that's fantastic. And that's what I love about being in this field is to see those stories, those success stories, and to watch people get recovered and, you know, have recovery in their lives. And especially now with evidence-based treatments, with more advanced medications, there's so much hope for people. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's great if the insurance companies continue to allow the people to have what is good for them. You know?
Yes, yeah.
We've just gone through a fight, you know, with one of his... My son has been epileptic since he's 5 in addition to having schizophrenia. But the one medication that worked for him for his epilepsy, they were saying, oh, we can't give it to him anymore. You know, he's got to try it. Well, he's tried just about everything else. It's the only thing that worked, you know. And he hasn't had a seizure in 2 years since he's been on this, you know. So,
yeah.
But anyway, they approved it again. So, we're, you know, probably have to go through it again next year. And,
yes.
But it's no fun.
No.
So, basically... What is your primary role at the hospital, at Behavioral Health?
My primary role is as clinical supervisor. So I supervise the other psychotherapists at Behavioral Health in the outpatient department. But I also see clients as well. So I am a psychotherapist. Mm-hmm. So it's divided. It's divided between clinical and administrative work, which I love. It's doing talks and education, doing programs for other departments. I actually also work cardiac rehab, and I think Lisa Buckley was on this show a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
They have the Dean Warnish program, so I also work there as well as a group facilitator. So I have a lot of different roles.
You have a lot of different roles.
I do. Yeah. I like that for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think it would be interesting, you know, to do the various... You know,
it's very interesting.
I know what outpatient is. Maybe some of the other people listening don't. Would you explain what outpatient is?
Sure. Outpatient would be considered the least restrictive setting for people who are in services. So for if you're getting outpatient services, you're coming in to see your therapist weekly or every other week or maybe even once a month. So it is the least restrictive setting for treatment.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the day program?
The day program would be more, not restrictive, but a more intensive level of treatment. So the day program, clients would be coming in maybe 2 to 3 to 5 times a week. And typically they're there during the course of the day. So mm-hmm. they might be there from like 9 to 3:30.
Right.
So it's a full program and outpatient, you're really just coming in for your 45 minutes to an hour
right.
seeing
right.
your therapist. And depending on where you are in treatment, again, it might be more consistent, like a weekly appointment, or as people start getting better, I always like to say that I'm providing somebody, I'm teaching them to have a home practice. So as people start to mm-hmm. get better and start to heal and start to really feel more confident in doing interventions on their own and they've learned more about themselves, I typically move it to monthly booster sessions, and then eventually they're ready to leave treatment.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between that and involuntary outpatient?
Involuntary outpatient are for people who are coming out of the state facility, a state hospital, and I don't work in that department.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so I don't really know
well,
too much
I know
about
that,
it.
I know that sometimes if our current prosecutor, who was just reelected, mm-hmm. Anthony Kearns, he is big on not putting people in jail for minor offenses.
Yes.
I mean, we're not talking armed robbery or anything like that, mm-hmm. but, you know, shoplifting or that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And he'd rather see them get help.
Yeah.
And they'll go before the judge, and the judge will send them to involuntary outpatient.
Yes.
That part I know.
Yes, and there's more monitoring. So
right,
you'll have a case
right,
manager
right.
who's working alongside of you, with you and monitoring you, but that is different than our, you know, the outpatient
mm-hmm.
that I'm
okay.
working for. Yes.
Okay. You deal with eating disorders?
I do. Yes, I do work with people with eating disorders.
Okay. What type of eating disorders do people have?
Typically, people who we're treating in the outpatient can have anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, or binge eating disorder. Those are the more common eating disorder categories that we are working with.
Do you find that someone who has an eating disorder, I'm not saying everyone, but a percentage of them have also a mental health issue, and that's why they're doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. Eating disorders are a very complicated mental health issue. So people who are diagnosed with an eating disorder also do have anxiety or depression or obsessive-compulsive tendencies. But they're complicated mental health disorders.
Mm. What type of treatment is available for them?
That's a great question. And it really depends on how bad their eating disorder is. Because of the medical complications that come along with eating disorders, like for severe restricting and very low weight, medically they can become very compromised. And also, it could also lead to death with severe restricting. And there's usually cardiac problems that usually occur with severe restricting behavior. So for those types of cases, most likely they'll be an inpatient. The first thing you have to do in treating eating disorders is to check to make sure they're medically safe. If they're not medically safe, then there'd be inpatient treatment for them. After inpatient, they usually get discharged to an intensive outpatient program or a partial hospital program. And once they're medically stable and their symptoms are manageable, that's when they come to our outpatient department. And you typically, we need someone to be at least 85% of their ideal body weight, so we know that they're not medically compromised.
Now, when you say binge eating, what does that entail?
Binge eating, typically somebody who has a binge eating disorder, that entails eating large amounts of food in a fairly short period of time. And as they're consuming their food, they're kind of checked out emotionally. They do it to numb their emotions, numb their feelings, to kind of check out mentally. And while they're doing it and after they're doing it, they have a great amount of guilt, a great amount of shame. But the difference between the binge eating and bulimia is that there's not compensatory behaviors to get rid of the food.
Okay.
So they're not vomiting or they're not going to try to get rid of the food as in the bulimia.
And the bulimia, people who have bulimia, they use laxatives and, vomiting, like you said.
So purging behavior could take different forms. Purging can take the form of vomiting, laxative, diuretics, over-exercising.
Yeah. There was a young man who passed away doing his nightly 1,000 sit-ups. And he was 22 years old. And, you know, someone, you know, said something to him, well, didn't you notice it? And, you know, he's 22 years old. It's not like you're feeding him anymore or, and he was like, I think they say 72 pounds. And, you know, it's just
very sad. Yeah,
it is. It's very sad.
People do die from this.
Yeah. And he did, you know.
And there are a lot of myths around it. Like, oh, they just need to eat or they're just trying to get attention or how serious can this be? It actually could be very serious.
It can be very serious.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times a person who is extremely slim will look in the mirror and not see themselves as extremely slim. They'll see themselves as fat.
Absolutely.
And now whether that's a mental process that they're
using, yes.
Which I'm assuming it is.
It's what we would call a cognitive distortion.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, cognitive disorder or something to that effect, right?
Yes.
Because you look at it and you say, my God, you know, she's skinny as a rail or whatever, and here she's thinking she's heavy and has to lose weight, you know?
And they truly, truly do believe that they are bigger than they are. The image of themselves is extremely distorted.
Right, right.
And the other thing, you don't have to be emaciated to have an eating disorder. That's the other myth. Oh, well, you know, she doesn't look like she has one. You can't tell by looking at somebody.
Right.
Sometimes you can when it's very obvious, but most of the times people can be of normal weight or maybe even be above normal weight and have a serious eating disorder.
And when they have an eating disorder, per se, do they normally eat just regular food, or is it like donuts and candy and ice cream, or which is it?
No, that's a great question. And it takes different forms for different people. So somebody with anorexia is going to have severe restricting in their diet, and they're going to cut out major food groups. So they may just really focus on, in their mind, what they think was healthy. So the amount of food they're consuming is very minimal, and they usually have, you know, food rituals. Somebody who is going to binge or plan a binge, sometimes they do binge on high caloric foods that they're consuming very quickly in a amount of time, in a fairly short amount of time, 1 to 2 hours. So it does take different forms of different people, and people have different ideas about and fears around food.
If you have a eating disorder, regardless of which one, Do you ever fully recover?
Great question. Yes, you can fully recover. As a matter of fact, I think the current stats are 60% fully recover. I believe 20% are in recovery, and then that does leave another 20% that don't recover. So the majority of people do recover. And the difference between being recovered and in recovery would mean being recovered is that you're eating without anxiety, you're not preoccupied with food, you could enjoy your life, food doesn't take front and center, you have a healthier image of yourself, you're able to engage in relationships, you're living your normal life,
right.
Okay? In recovery may mean that you don't have active symptoms, you may not be restricting or you may not be purging, but it's still right there. It's still right there in the forefront. So you're still kind of thinking about it, and there still might be some avoidance, but it's a good start. It's a wonderful start, and hopefully progresses into full recovery. And then for others, they don't.
Do you see people relapsing?
Yes, relapse is, yeah. They
is it kind of normal?
It's normal. It is normal to relapse.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me. What would some of the triggers to relapsing be?
It could vary. It could be a current stress in somebody's life. Somebody could be doing really well, and there might be a stressor that they're just unable to manage. It could be, a death in the family or, somebody close mm-hmm. to them. It could be a job change. It could be a move. It could be a divorce. So it could be some yeah. type of change that triggers some anxiety for that person.
Is there a larger percentage of males or females who do this, or is it pretty much even? Or
I would say it's still, the majority percentage-wise is more female, but the numbers of males with eating disorders is actually growing. Mm-hmm. But it's I would say females is the highest percentage.
And is there a reason for that, in your opinion?
In my opinion, probably how females are socialized still. Females are socialized differently than males. Things are changing, but I believe it is a socialization process for the most part. But there probably are some other factors involved as well with having females have more of an eating disorder. But certainly the males are on the rise as well. And for males, males who play sports and who are wrestling, you'll see eating disorders starting to develop for boys who are in wrestling, who might be encouraged to be a certain weight, or muscularly, they feel more muscular. So it does occur. It can occur in males as well.
That's kind of sad. Regardless if it's male or female.
It is,
What are some of the signs that somebody, like a family member, should look for?
There are quite a few. Some of the signs would be, I guess the most obvious would be if you have a drastic weight loss all of a sudden, somebody's losing weight, somebody leaving the table after their meal, like consistently leaving the table after they have a meal, that may mean they're trying to get rid of what they just ate, changes in mood, irritability, a preoccupation with size, changes social, going out socially. They may not want to be spending time with their friends. A lot of times I'll hear from clients that they'll turn down parties and events and things like that. Anything that has, there may be food or be around food. So really definitely a change in mood and in how they're interacting with the family. So those are some of the signs to watch out for.
Do you see someone who has this disorder, regardless of if it's male or female? Mm-hmm. How do I word this? Do you find that if they have support from their families, It's easier for recovery.
I think it makes a big difference. I think having support, and support meaning helping them to find help, not judging them.
Right. That's a big part right there.
That's a huge, huge part.
Mm-hmm.
Being a place for them to go to, a safe place for them to talk about things, yes, it does help for sure.
Because I know with mental health issues, a lot of times families don't quite understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
Well, my son won't get out of bed and he won't get up and get a job and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that it's not that the person doesn't want to get out of bed and go out and get a job. It's that they physically can't at
that
point.
They can't do it, yeah.
They can't physically get up and take a shower and go out and get a job, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It's not that they don't want to.
Yes.
You know, it's not that they don't want to be quote-unquote normal.
Mm-hmm.
But they just can't at that point.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing. It sounds like the same thing with eating disorders and such.
It is the same thing, people who have eating disorder have a real love-hate relationship with an eating disorder. You know, part of them can see the destruction and understand it, and there's part of them that it's very difficult to give up. You know, it developed for a reason. They had a sense of control. They were going through something difficult, and the eating disorder kind of gave them a sense of control over things, gave them something to focus on, although ultimately they'll find out that they don't have control when
right.
they have an eating disorder. But it's there for a reason. So when I start working with a client with an eating disorder, I start out with just wanting to know about it, what their experience with it is, what the pros and cons
mm-hmm.
are.
Right.
I'm just not going to assume they're going to give this thing up. You know, it's like a safety
right.
blanket, so to speak.
Right.
But families do need to know that it's not just a simple diet or a simple, they'll get over it. And the support of the family is essential. And we are such a weight and diet-obsessed culture. Simple comments are made all the time. But for somebody with an eating disorder, it just resonates so deeply for them.
Right. Right.
So comments like, oh, you gained a couple of pounds, or comments like, oh, you're going to eat that? Or comments like, oh, so-and-so doesn't, look as good anymore as she used to. Those types of comments are really impact most of us, but certainly
right.
somebody
right.
who has an eating disorder.
Do you deal... I assume that you don't deal solely with eating disorders, do you?
What do you mean?
I mean, your clients are not all folks with eating disorders.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not. Yes,
okay.
I have a variety of clients that I work with, yes.
And what is the variety? What does it entail?
As far as diagnosis?
The people you work with. I mean, yes, you deal with some that have eating disorders,
mm-hmm.
And you have some that don't.
Yes.
The ones that don't.
The ones that don't are typically have obsessive compulsive disorder, anxiety. I tend to work a lot with anxiety and obsessive compulsive disorder, but certainly depression, stress-related disorders. So a variety of disorders.
Yeah, under anxiety, there's probably about seven different...
there's a lot under anxiety.
I know they have PTSD under...
Yes.
Under anxiety,
yes,
they do.
And
ADHD, and but it's when someone has anxiety, that can be very well. Any of the mental health issues can be devastating, but if someone has anxiety, it's that can be really. Disruptive.
It is. It's debilitating for people. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. But again, I feel very grateful that I have the ability to work collaboratively with my clients and offer them things that actually help them. I am a certified cognitive therapist, and cognitive therapy is one of the few evidence-based treatments out there. So I really like to start with educating my clients, talking to them about the effectiveness of cognitive therapy, how to use cognitive therapy, And I also really like to use a lot of relaxation techniques, which you'll find there's a lot of evidence-based research out there now showing how meditation and mindfulness are extremely effective and helpful to people. And then really encourage my clients to develop a home practice.
Mm. Mm-hmm. In other words, continue at home. Right.
I tell them it's like brushing your teeth. You never right. know. You have to keep on doing it every day.
Right. And you know, it's interesting because meditation helps a lot of people.
It does.
You know, not only those with mental health issues or disorders of some sort or another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's profound. It's really profound, the effects. And it's not something that's, you know, has any religious or spiritual.
No, no,
it's really a technique for the mind.
Right, right.
And everybody could do it. That's the other thing I hear is like, oh, I can't meditate. My mind is so busy. I was like, yeah, all our minds are busy.
Right.
That's the mind's function, is to think.
Right.
So I always like to encourage people to start a practice. And I'll help them develop a practice.
And it's... I would assume you probably have to develop a different practice for different types of people.
I would say modify it. You know, it's individual. So you modify it for each unique individual.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Hunter Medical Center Show, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest.
We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Cynthia Comparato. Mm-hmm. Hey, I said it right. Wow. Why, that's two for two, I think. Cynthia is a clinical coordinator and an outpatient psychological with the outpatient psychological services at the Hunterdon Medical Center. And we've been discussing, you know, a couple different types of illnesses that Cynthia deals with. Eating disorders has been a big one, and also she deals with others, you know, depression, anxiety, etc., stuff like that. With eating disorders, does the media play a role in that, good or bad?
The media does play a role, and it's mostly not good.
That figures.
Does it cause an eating disorder? Eating disorder is such a complex disorder that there's no one cause, but it does have a major factor in it. With the media, we are just inundated with very myopic images. The images are everywhere. So when you have young girls looking at magazines, looking at the television, on the internet, or people just in general, they develop an idea this is what they're supposed to look like. And what the media is portraying is not a genuine, typical person or individual. So people are comparing themselves to these digitally altered images and trying to compete with these images. And it is certainly plays a very negative role in someone's, you know, image of self. So the media plays a role in creating an image that's just not possible to get. Mm-hmm. They're trying to sell things. They digitally alter everything. I was just watching something recently where they were actually on the model, they were making the whites of her eyes even whiter than they were.
Yeah.
I mean, everything from the whites of your eyes, you know, they're brighter, clearer. So these images, almost as if they're like just, you know, celestial beings, because there's not one pore on this person. They alter their waist size. They alter the length of their torso. So girls are trying to, or boys are trying to compete with images that are not realistic at all.
Right. My wife watches this, trying to think of the name of it now. Oh, This Is Us. It's a television show.
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it.
Okay. Basically, it's about a family, and they were having triplets, and the one child died, and there was a abandoned, and they're Caucasian, and there was an abandoned African-American child, okay. And they adopted the African-American child along with the twins that they had. So they have two boys now and a girl, and there you'll see them from going back in time and then growing up and back, you know, so it goes back and forth. But the girl, the sister, is humongous. She's very attractive. She's just humongous. Mm-hmm. And it just strikes me that how unusual it is to see someone who is so overweight mm-hmm. in a show, mm-hmm. you know. And, yeah, they have... Now she tries to go to these different classes and stuff, and you know, but it's just, you know, you never see something like that, like what you're saying.
Yeah.
You see,
there's no diversity inside.
A very slim or you know, alluring, attractive, mm-hmm. and a woman's very attractive. She's just mm-hmm. heavy, and I mean heavy, you know, and it's just, you know, and it just amazes me every time to, you know, think that. And evidently, the show has been quite a success. Mm-hmm. So, but and she's very good in her part. You know, it's mm-hmm. just that you don't see this figure of a woman often.
Right.
On
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. There's truly a lack of diversity in
right.
size and shape.
Exactly.
Yeah, and color.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and does dieting affect?
Dieting does affect
eating
yes,
disorders.
It does.
If you have an eating disorder, and you're bulging, or I mean, you know, purging what you eat, would dieting affect that? Or I mean, diet along with it?
The way diet affects eating disorders is that an eating disorder could occur from innocent dieting.
Okay.
So you have, for example, you might have a young girl who starts to just maybe have the innocent dieting, you know, during puberty and developmental state, different early developmental stages, sometimes girls, you know, might be a little heavier because your body is constantly changing. So they may just start with some innocent dieting. Then all of a sudden, oh, you look so fantastic. Oh, you look so great. So it encourages them to diet more. And then the diet can become very obsessive. As a matter of fact, 25% of eating disorders, they do occur from dieting behavior.
Hmm.
So dieting should not be encouraged in any way, shape, or form. If you do have to make healthier choices in your eating habits, we're looking at health lifestyle changes. So dieting should not be part of the picture. Looking at lifestyle changes is really what you want to focus on. Families need to really focus on with their children having a lot of healthy foods available in the house. Encouraging, you know, dinners and meals together, encouraging family activities together.
Mm-hmm.
So to get back to the question of dieting, yes, it can lead to some form of eating disorder. And again, it can also lead to a serious clinical eating disorder.
You know, this doesn't fit into basically what we're talking about, but I had both my knees replaced.
Okay.
Prior to doing it, I had to lose 140 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
It took a couple of years, a little over a year and a half, almost 2 years. And now I'll lose 3 pounds, gain 2 pounds, you know, go back and forth, up and down, up and down, up and down. Not by a lot, mm-hmm. but just a couple pounds up,
yeah.
and then I'll lose 4, and then I'll gain 3, you know, that sort of thing. And it's very frustrating to me, mm-hmm. you know. But when you have to do this for a medical
mm-hmm.
reason,
mm-hmm.
Can it trigger an eating disorder?
That's a good question. So... obesity is not considered a mental health disorder. So it's very different than clinical eating disorders. So if there the other factors are there, you know, such as a preoccupation with body size, anxiety, if you become rigid, if you become very rigid about eating after the weight loss, you know, certainly it can develop into an eating disorder. But it doesn't necessarily develop into an eating disorder.
Me, I just try to, you know.
You try to balance it
out. I try to balance it, yeah. I splurge on chocolate once
like
in a while.
Like most of the population,
You know, it's just.
So the differentiation really is, you know, being very rigid about something, being very preoccupied, and excluding other things and other parts of your life.
And what is more, I don't know, which one is more, the purging after eating, or what was the other one?
Restricting. What occurs more?
Yeah, which one, you know, do you find patients have more?
Both.
They're both pretty much equal?
Yeah, both, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, because you just as a layman's per, you would think one would be more than the other,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
It's not.
And you could be anorexic and have moments of binging and purging as well. So it doesn't follow, it's not, doesn't, it follow, it goes back and forth. It could flow
mm-hmm.
back and forth
okay.
with what behaviors an individual is using, so it's not so fixed.
Okay.
I've had clients that was very fixed, and you know they did like one or two very specific behaviors. But typically, clients who are struggling and who are not in recovery and are active in their symptoms, that you know can go back and forth.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If someone wanted to reach out to you or mm-hmm. you know your organization. Is there an email or a phone or?
There is a phone contact. So if somebody wanted to get services,
or just ask questions whether they needed it or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's hard just to ask questions because we don't have anybody identified.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if they, you know, if they wanted to contact somebody or get into services or. They could contact our intake office.
Okay.
And that number
go
is
ahead.
908-788-6401, prompt number 4. So that would get them to our intake department, and they could assist them with what the next step would be. If somebody wanted more information on eating disorders specifically, there's a wonderful website. It's the National Eating Disorder Association website. Or organization, and they have a massive amount of fantastic information that, you know, it could be for a family member, it could be for the person who's struggling themselves. They have a lot of resources and a lot of information and education, and I would encourage anybody who needs more information to start there.
And would you give that again, please?
The website, it's the National Eating Disorder Association. It's also known by NEDA, N-E-D-A.
Okay.
They are actually spearheading the National Eating Disorder Awareness Week. So.
When is that?
That's currently. Yeah,
currently,
yeah,
this
yeah,
week.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, so we're right on target.
That's why
here.
You're on.
We're right on target here.
Yeah. That's excellent. Mm-hmm. And the phone number was 908-788-6401 and press 4.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yes.
Well, I knew
good.
The phone number. I just didn't know the 4. You know, yeah. So I'm cheating a little because I did know the number.
Yes.
Because I reach out to Albacetti sometimes and his phone number is on there too. Okay. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Cynthia. You know, time flies.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, thank you for having me.
And
I really am very encouraged by putting information out there for people.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
Really just letting people know that for anybody who is struggling, recovery can happen.
Absolutely. It certainly can.
Mm-hmm.
And we do appreciate it. Remember, if you want to reach that phone number, it's 908-788-6401. Press 4. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you again, Cynthia.
Thank you.
We'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Corking & Company, and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Our highways, our bridges are unsafe. Our tunnels, I mean, we have tunnels in New York where the tiles are on the ceiling and you see many tiles missing.
President Trump talking about his budget proposals and increases in infrastructure spending. He also said he's going to spend more on the military that was decimated by the Obama administration. Scott Pruitt, the head of the EPA, says Republicans have nothing to apologize for when it comes to the environment.
We as Republicans don't have anything to be apologetic about with respect to the environment.
Nothing. We have always believed that you can grow jobs, grow an economy, while also doing what? Being a good steward of the environment. That's what we're tasked to do, and we can do both.
A St. Anthony, Minnesota police officer accused of shooting and killing a man at a traffic stop last summer, scheduled for a jury trial in May. Geronimo Yanez pleaded not guilty today to manslaughter in the shooting of Philando Castile. USA Radio News.